All right. I am calling to order the Working Committee of Council of September 8th, 2020 at 6 p.m. We have all members of council present. And I see the mayor as well is present. And I believe that our fire chief and Lou DiMatteo also might be joining. Yeah, I see Lou. All right, so the first order of business we have tonight is the Temporary Enforcement Abeyance Ordinance 2020-41. And let's see here. Does anybody want to have any comments on that? Mr. Mayor, do you have any update on that?
Well, Mr. President, Councilwoman Taylor Draper and Councilman Jarmusz Kavich and I had a chance, Ray Samich invited us to meet with Mr. Scheel. Apparently, the Amazon trucks, or at least somebody from Amazon had told him they might be vacating, so it might not be necessary any further, but as with everything in the retail world right now, it could change very quickly.
Okay, so is it the opinion, anybody on council have an opinion as to whether we should go ahead and move forward with this? Just leave it on second reading and move on this week?
Yes.
I see a lot of shaking heads, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think probably better safe than sorry.
By next meeting, we can figure out if he's going to use it or not.
Okay. If he doesn't need it, we can just take it out.
Right. Okay, so if there's the next one is Chief Gandy's vacation carryover. We have that on second reading this week. Is there anybody want to discuss anything further on that? All right, and I will move on to the Garfield lease termination agreement. Mr. Mayor, do you want to talk about that one?
Sure. This is necessary. The school approached us, earlier in the year, after their levy failed last year, said that they were looking to sell some of their additional properties, and then got very quiet. After the levy passed, but then there was another wave of cuts in their budget from the state. They said they really needed to generate the revenue and sell their extra properties. There is a provision under the lease where if they need it for school purposes such as this, they could recapture it, but it would take quite a bit of time. It just seemed a lot easier to relocate things over to Romish, which is what we've done. Soccer and football are sharing the two fields over there, and everyone's happy. We removed the couple of improvements that were built there over the years. And have relocated them to Romish as well, the stand for the porta potty, the bulletin board with flagpole, et cetera. So at this point, terminating the lease just lets them get on with school business and is really being a good partner to somebody who's been a good partner for us for many years, in my opinion.
Thank you. Any questions with regard to this ordinance from anyone on council?
Is it just a formality?
Well, it is effectively because they
already sold the property.
Right. We're not having any intention on using this. So, and I heard Councilwoman Fellows suggest that we waive and adopt this one, which makes sense to me to help be expedient for them to be able to move forward with their plans. So, does anybody have any concerns or opposing opinions about that?
No.
Okay, the next one is the OPWC funds for Rockefeller Road resurfacing project. That is 2020-47 is on first reading. And I believe that's because they finally passed the bill. Is that the funds have been approved?
That's correct. The funds finally came out, as we discussed, before the August break, Pete was able to go out, put the drawings out there at the engineering firm's risk, And then, you know, once the funds were released, got bids in. And as you can see from the details, you know, we've got several good bids in. They've recommended this one. And obviously, you know, we're late in the construction season, but they still feel they can get it done. So the quicker we can move, the better. So, you know, as we've done with the other ones, I would have preferred to do three readings, but obviously I think we'd all prefer to get this moving before construction gets in. And again, I'll remind everyone, this is one, you know, it's coming from the state funds, and then the county also provided some funds that we support this project as well.
Yeah, this is something we've been discussing since the beginning of the year. So it's not, in my opinion, it's not something new. We've known it's coming. We've just been waiting on the funds to be approved. I'll look to the council to tell me what their recommendations, what they'd like to see happen here.
Mr. President.
Yes, Councilman Fellows.
I have a question. I'm just curious. It was almost a 23% variance difference from the engineer to the bid. Just out of curiosity, maybe someone can explain why.
Is Pete on? I don't think he is.
I don't think he's on.
No.
I think we can ask on Thursday, and I can try to get him to get that feedback before.
Well, I'm grateful. But I'm just curious, because that was a lot.
Yeah. And Councilman Fellows, I'm having a horrible time hearing you.
Yeah, you're a little quiet. I don't know if your microphone on your headset is pointed down towards your mouth, or maybe the volume maybe just needs to be turned up on your computer. Not sure which.
Is that better?
Oh, that's
way better.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I didn't have the mic down. Sorry.
I'll try to get a hold of Pete and get an answer to that. I was surprised by the number as well, but it was on the right direction, so I was grateful.
Well, I agree. I'm grateful. I was just curious. That's all.
Yep.
And I think we should probably waive and adopt.
I agree.
I agree.
Yes.
Okay, great. The next one is the COVID-19 hazard pay benefit. That's ordinance 2020-49, which will be on first reading as well.
Council President?
Yes, Councilwoman Taylor Draper.
Can I get a little background on that? Just a little explanatory from Mayor or whomever.
Yes, yeah. Mayor Gardner, you want to?
Sure.
Give us the rundown.
This has come up, it came up initially during the city's labor negotiations as something that some other jurisdictions are doing. In looking at it and talking with the law directors, it's something that we felt would be of benefit to our employees, especially you know, during this year. We are looking to try to offer this, you know, and at the same time, it would be, you know, we're offering it as part of and in the process of our contract negotiations. So, obviously, the fire and police, it's very easy to talk about the hazard they have. I thought they did a good job drafting the ordinance to show some of the other risks. The service department with the work in the sewers has increased exposure, and then our administrative staff never shut down. We've done everything we can to, you know, to keep them, you know, distance from the public, but they never stayed at home to work. So, you know, we've asked that they be part of it as well, and also trying to be fair with all of our employees. So that's what's going on here. I think this is more common. You know, it originally came out of Cuyahoga County, but it's definitely one of the things that our CARES Act funding can be used for. And so that's one of our proposals for a good way to use it and help them.
Mr. Mayor?
Sir.
Is there a certain criteria that they use to determine whether it's COVID-related? Or how do they split it up? They separate their hours for the pay?
No, this is based on a percentage of their total salary.
Okay.
Is this something we can consider and just have three readings on this, Mayor Gardner? Or is this something I'd like to have a little more time on this if possible?
No, I think it would tie in great, probably with the approval of the union contracts as we hopefully get those finished in the coming weeks here.
I think all of council would probably, I don't want to speak for all of council, but I think this is something that I want people to have a chance to absorb and think about. And obviously we've got some, as you said, we've got some union contracts coming up, and I'd like to see what those are going to cost us before we, consider this one. Pass this additional.
Yeah, that's actually my mask, and I'm going to put it in the wash.
Council President.
Yes,
I know this is probably similar to what I know. Cuyahoga County did the same thing with their employees.
Flipped it inside out, like turning.
Probably similar to what a lot of the counties are doing with some of the money. So for those who were working and not working at home, and who were out, on the battlefield, so to speak, and compensating them for taking their risks. So I can totally understand that.
Thank you. Any other comments, concerns, questions? I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? There's a volume thing on your.
Go ahead, try now.
How's that?
Yep, now we can hear you.
Okay. As the mayor was saying it.
Now we can't again. Did you push the button twice? Maybe just push it once. Yeah. Okay, now stop. Now talk.
Got me?
No.
No, he was fine. You were fine, but now you're not. I don't know. It's always Councilman Zagarek.
What's the deal with you and microphones?
One of the good news items from CARES Act money is we are looking to upgrade some of the audiovisual facilities from council chambers, so it can only help.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
No, we can barely hear you. Can barely hear you. So
okay.
There, how's that? Can.
There you go.
Whatever
got
you did
you.
There, we could hear you.
Okay.
There we go. Now we got
it. Right. All right. As the mayor was saying, it seems that a lot of communities with first responders and other employees are in harm's way, in relationship to COVID. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I probably would not have any problem passing it on a first or second reading. So. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. The next one is the COVID-19, ambulance purchase for ordinance 2020-50. Mayor, do you want you or the fire chief to field this one?
I'll lead off. Chief Gandy is on the line here. He's dialed in, so his last 2 digits are 4-9. And then Lieutenant Lou DiMattia is also on. I think he's just goes on, he's on the screen under Lou. They did leave some materials up for council in the chambers a little while before the meeting. This is something that that several of the other communities have looked at. I believe Willoughby approved an ambulance purchase last week. Eastlake is also, I think, has approved. Don't hold me to that. I know Kirtland, Willowick, and Wickliffe are all exploring this. It's one of the things that, the CARES Act money is out there for. As we've been looking at things, while we aren't fortunately, deluged with COVID runs, they have added to our run total. This new ambulance has some great technology. Some of it is very simple. It's got a much better divider between the patient compartment and the driver compartment that helps separate them and keep our employees safer. It also has an enhanced ventilation system in the patient compartment that will be allow us to be safer. It gives us a third ambulance, and I'll let the chief speak to this, but that's been one of his goals, is that when we've had one out of service, we've had to borrow one, so that will help us there. And thirdly, it offers an additional ambulance with the time taken to disinfect after COVID runs. So the department had a chance to spend the last couple of weeks looking at options with, you know, many communities faced with the same situation we are, where there is identified as a potential good use for the CARES Act funding is to acquire an ambulance. Being able to get one that will be delivered in the time appropriate so that it can meet the CARES Act timing. There's a lot of demand out there. Chief Candy was able to find a good one, and I'll let him get into more of the particulars, but that would be the goal here. This ordinance covers the purchase of the ambulance and its included equipment. There'll be another follow-up ordinance for some of the extra equipment that's not provided by the ambulance vendor so that it can be fully equipped and ready for service. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chief Candy.
So just to be clear, so even with the additional stuff you just spoke about, Mr. Mayor, that would all be covered from these CARES Act funds?
That's correct.
Okay,
we would use the CARES Act fund to equip it. This ordinance is just to approve the purchase of the vehicle and what comes with it. You know, the drug box, and I'll let the chief describe the other things, but okay. Some of those where we don't have extras now, we would have to get that to get it equipped and in service.
Thank you. Chief Candy?
Chief Thank Candy. You, Mayor, and Mr. President. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay. Just to build upon what the mayor had said is that, you know, one of the things in light of everything that's going on, there certainly is a need for a third ambulance. Right now, current stats for 2020 is we're running about 32% overlapping calls. And what that means is, you know, at least two calls going on at the same time. I can tell you in the last 2 weeks, we've had two instances of having three calls going on at the same time. And in those situations that usually it's during the days when I'm here, so I don't mind pinch hitting as needed to make sure that we're meeting the demand to take care of service delivery for our community. And in addition to last year, we had over 50% of overlapping calls too. So the problem is that we definitely have a strong reliance on a two ambulance system. And then you can see instances where we have three to even four calls going on simultaneously. So strong reliance on our neighbors. The other issue that we're encountering is when we do have to take one of our squads or aging squads out of service, for any period of time for maintenance, that puts us down to a one squad situation, which, like I said, many times we're seeing the double calls happening. So it puts us in a very difficult situation. And if we don't, then there's a reliance on our neighbors, and our neighbors would prefer to give us a loaner squad, so they're not running as much to pick up our slack kind of thing. So in last year alone and into this year, I think we've borrowed ambulances from Mayfield Village, Wycliffe, Willoughby, and there's another community too, I think I'm forgetting, but you know, we've had that strong reliance. This new squad is loaded. It is a demo squad like Eastlake and Willoughby has purchased, because if we were to design a squad and order it from the ground up, you're looking at least 6 months. I can tell you that in talking with the dealer, he had said that he wished he had eight more squads, because he could have sold eight of them already. In the last week, he's received probably about 18 calls a day of everyone looking for demo squads to meet the December 30th deadline that it needs to be in play. The one that we have in particular, I think, is a very good deal for the city. It's four-wheel drive, especially in our environment that we encounter in some of our snowfall and so forth, that makes it more conducive for safe transport of our personnel and our patients or customers. It does have a cot load system and a cot, which we currently have. It also has a liquid spring system, which is becoming the industry standard. And I got to see this firsthand when the squad was here Friday. We looked it over and had a kind of an overall insight as far as, you know, what we're truly looking at. And the ride is very, very comfortable, similar to that of our van type squads. But the problem with the van type squads is that it doesn't offer much protection for our members. God forbid they get into an accident. So this adds some additional protection. It's got an onboard oxygen lift system. It's a Ford F550 diesel, which handles the hills. Lieutenant Heller and the mayor could tell you firsthand that it did a very nice job. We took it for a test drive and tested it out there. So it worked out good. The other nice thing is that, you know, we were pretty quick on moving on this. We're one of the two squads that they have left, which is Lifeline, which that's what is the manufacturer of our two current squads that we have in the station now. So we are able to get a squad earmarked for us. And I had asked him, I said, just out of curiosity, how many more people are in line if we turn this down? And he said, I got three other departments, two in Ohio and one in New Hampshire that's interested in this. So we're in a very, very fortunate position to be where we are, to be in line here to have the squad. And like I said, he only has two left. As the mayor said, it's got the filtration system. This is a newer filtration system, but it's been in a ambulance district in the Atlanta area where they've had great feedback with it. It does work for COVID systems or COVID exposures, rather, for filtrating it out. And then in addition, that this squad will allow us to be better prepared for even future pandemics or just general, infectious control isolation in general. The other added nice benefit of this is that this is also listed on the Ohio Office of Budget and Management under page 2, that it lists under medical expenses, emergency medical response expenses related to COVID-19, including emergency medical transport. So this would definitely qualify as far as some of the confines related to how to spend the money. I think that's pretty much it. Lieutenant DeMatteo, if there's anything else you wanted to jump in on an ad as well that I may be forgetting.
I think you hit pretty much most of the main points there. I think it's just of note that, you know, we used to have three squads. We went down to two probably, I don't know, a decade or so ago, but our numbers have increased exponentially. So I think having a third squad again will benefit the community in quite a few aspects. Not to mention, you know, during COVID now, our turnaround times at the hospital have increased, probably about 10% increase in how many times we're delayed getting out of the hospital and getting back in town. So I think it'll help with reducing the mutual aid dependency. It'll also help reduce on the wear and tear of our existing equipment. And hopefully, by doing all that, increase some of our revenue too with transport billing.
Thank you. I do have a question, Chief. So does adding this additional squad, does that add to our budgetary numbers for personnel, or do we already have those people around working and they would just be simply have another vehicle to go in, and do we have enough? So does that make sense, am I asking?
Yeah, Mr. President, I get what you're asking. Currently during the day, which we tend to see our highest call volumes, essentially, you can kind of view me as the sixth person, so we could still potentially run that squad. The other issue is if we do have two squads out, historically, we're putting out a manpower page, which, and sometimes we're able to get people, sometimes we're not. But it still allows us the situation that we can put that squad into play, or if it needs extended decon time, we can still move personnel around so we can put that squad in service.
Anybody else? Questions?
Council President.
Councilman Jarvis Cavish, go ahead.
I'm just curious. When you say we rent,
I can't hear you.
Sorry. Would you say when we use other people's ambulances or whatever, if we have three and we lend, would we be lending any of ours out?
It's unlikely. The reality is even us borrowing other communities' ambulances is kind of an unusual aspect since EMS calls account for the majority of everyone's runs. It's usually everyone has a substantial number of ambulances to accommodate. ESIC's in a very similar situation for like us, and I believe that they have a three squad setup just because that there's many times that they're seeing double calls. Wycliffe's in the, I think, some of the same boat. We had actually borrowed their squad and then one of theirs was going out of service, so they actually had to take it back from us, and then we had to borrow another community. And that does create some issues as far as we've got to send our personnel in charge of the city as far as coverage, that we've got to send them and pick it up, move equipment, transfer it over. And on one occasion, we had forgotten some ballistic vests, and so we had to go back, grab those. So when we're on a lot of calls, and everyone's going a lot of different directions, so there's definitely some continuity issues that are created as far as equipment moving around, shuttling, and so forth. So a third one would definitely ease some of the equipment transferring and being able to allow us to quickly jump into a squad and go off to another incident. Even if it's of significance where we got recall people coming in.
Councilwoman Fellows, I think you had a question.
I did, but so did Vice President Klein and Councilwoman Taylor Draper.
Go ahead.
So one of the questions, so the mayor had, and this is for the chief, but the mayor had mentioned that you're disinfecting the ambulances after COVID runs. I would imagine you're disinfecting them after all runs?
Not to the level that is needed due to the high infectious nature of COVID. It goes through a much more detailed decontamination. And this isn't only of known patients, but of suspected patients, where there's kind of a setup at most of the hospitals, Hillcrest in particular. They have a place where you can pull it off and pretty much spray it down. We have sprayers to pretty much hit everything within the squad. To make sure we decontaminate. There is general decon that goes through, but it's not to the extent as needed for suspected COVID incidents.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councilwoman Taylor Draper.
That was my question too. Just trying to get an idea of how long the ambulance is out of commission while you are disinfecting it. So
it can be up to it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it could be up to a half an hour at times. I know Hillcrest in particular has really taken a lead as far as allowing a specific place. They've got pretty dialed in so you can decontaminate. We've added sprayers that we add disinfectant in, and that actually took our initial decon time from 2 hours down to a half an hour. So we've had some increase, advantages of using the sprayers, but still, nevertheless, there's still some decon that's involved. Our personnel then have to go and take showers and so forth. So it's bumped up a little bit more so than what we would normally on a so-called, quote, routine call.
So a third ambulance would definitely help with that.
Absolutely. And definitely with a call volume. Wilbie Hills is kind of unique from a lot of other communities, is that our numbers have bounced back pretty quick as far as to almost regular levels. So, we're seeing our 14 call a day, pop back up. Well, still there's some communities out there still aren't seeing those numbers increase. And I suspect part of that's fear of people going to the hospital and thinking that they're going to catch, COVID there. And so there's a lot of people that are still reserved, but we're starting to see a pretty strong rebound. Especially with overlapping calls as things have been continuing, people going back to work and so forth.
Thank you. Council Vice President Klein, you had something too?
A couple questions. What's the timing for delivery of the ambulance?
We're looking at roughly a month. There's just the markings and so forth that have to go through. They have to move a cot over from one of our other ones that will at least carry us in the meantime until the new one comes in. That will allow us to take this new squad and put it in a frontline status immediately. But he's estimating that we should be able to have it in about a month's time with markings and everything, and then be able to be put into service. In addition, we're looking at some additional equipment that we need to add. Some of it we already have, some of it we need to add to it.
My other question, I know some of the existing equipment is in need of overhaul or repair. Is it possible that after the new unit is in, one of those could be sent out for repair? And if so, would that qualify or could that qualify under CARES also for getting it back into not serviceable, but into first-line use?
If you're talking about as far as the other equipment that, I mean, we're intending to use this new squad in frontline status. Right now, we currently don't have any of the squads that have anything extremely detailed or with an anticipated lengthy out of service time. So other than just pretty much regular scheduled maintenance or something that may pop up, you know, where we would then be down to two squads in the meantime. But again, that's kind of our target, is to always have two squads in service within our department at any given time, just due to our call volume. I hope that answers maybe what you're asking.
Well, so neither of the two current units are in need of major overhaul.
Yeah, correct. Although they both have roughly 80,000 miles on it, so it's anticipated, you know, at some point in time that I'm sure we'll have some more things to look at. Ultimately, the mayor's tasked me with putting together a vehicle replacement plan, in which we're working on, you know, to ultimately have a good rotation plan incorporating into some of the forecasted numbers, you know, of increased calls and stuff like that, especially with some of our elderly population.
All right.
Thank you. Any other questions for the chief?
Council president?
Yes, go ahead, Councilman Zuzegar.
Hi, chief. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Good. Approximately how many squad calls a month are we averaging?
Lieutenant D'Amata, you probably have that off the top of your head. He's a really good stats guy, if you want to weigh in on that.
We can't hear you, Lou. You're muted.
Sorry, I lost my Zoom page. I'm going to pull our page to get stats for you real quick. EMS calls you're referring to, or just calls in general?
Well, squad calls. Yeah. You know, I think you guys call them squad calls.
Yeah.
Approximately. You don't have to be.
Right. Give me 1 second. Just on the fly, it's hard to pull up that specific.
EMS calls you're referring to, or just calls in general?
Well, squad calls. Squad calls. You guys call them squad calls.
Yeah.
Approximately. You don't have to be.
Give me 1 second.
Can you still hear me?
That's specific. EMS calls you're referring to, or just calls in general?
Something weird is going on.
Squad calls.
We're in a loop of some kind here.
Approximately.
You don't have to. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm not sure where that loop's coming from.
God damn, it was a ventriloquist.
EMS calls you're referring to, or just calls again.
I don't know what's going on.
You feel like you're in the Twilight Zone. I guess just to shoot from the hip on this one,
yeah.
I mean, we're ranging, I would say probably at least maybe 10 a day would be maybe an average. Maybe that's a little bit on the high side. But
I'm talking about 170, 180 calls a month, and roughly 80% of those are straight up EMS calls, not counting car accidents, things like that. So,
there you go.
I'd say about 140 to 150 EMS calls a month.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And any other questions with regard to the ambulance?
One other question, Council President.
Yes, Councilwoman Taylor-Driver, go ahead.
I just get a feeling, and from Chief Gandy and Lou, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, that we don't have enough ambulances. It seems that the borrow an ambulance song and dance that you guys do, that's a little worrisome. I mean, is that something that you guys, you know, it's not a big deal to you? Or it just seems, for somebody hearing it kind of in detail for the first time, it's a little concerning. Do you feel you have enough? Do you to serve our residents? Do you have what you need? Or is there something else that you need? Or what?
Having that third squad, I think, is important. As Lieutenant D'Amadia had talked about it around 2012, there was talk about getting rid of the third squad. But since then, you know, we've added roughly, you know, 900 more calls to our call load. The problem is, too, is that when you start
borrowing equipment from other communities, there's some other different liability aspects that are entailed with it, as far as, you know, it's a different vehicle, different braking system. So, you know, obviously you have to invest some time into our members becoming familiar with that, roughly 35 members becoming familiar with that, how to operate that vehicle, the different switches. And, you know, there's just a different makeup of it too. So, you know, we do cover it under our insurance. It gets added to our insurance for coverage. But it just creates that situation where, again, you know, we've got to spend time. Somebody's got to go pick it up and then bring it back. We've got to equip it. Well, then you throw a couple calls in the mix of that, you know, and then you have to go back to where you were as far as, well, what needs to be transferred over now. And just with our increased call volume and the staffing that we currently have, there really is a strong need to have a third ambulance. I know this is a conversation that the mayor and I have had as far as just strategic planning for the organization in general. But it would definitely help our personnel. They wouldn't have to worry about remembering, going through checklists. Well, let's see, did this get moved back? And then when it comes out of service, then we have to bring that other squad back and then move everything back. You know, there's that risk and potential that you could lose some of those things or things that don't get moved over. And when you have a lot of moving parts to something, you have more of an opportunity from a risk management standpoint that things can pop up and you have little hiccups along the way.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, I think this would benefit the community and the department almost on a daily basis. I mean, whether the squad is out of service at the hospital getting deconned because of a COVID patient, or, you know, we're simply cleaning it at the station or doing a check, or there's a vendor there doing maintenance on the cot. When those calls start coming in, there's that inherent delay of getting the squad back in service really quick, or having to call mutual aid and waiting for them to show up. With a third squad, we just jump in that and go and handle that call right away without any problem. Because it just adds delays when we're down a squad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anyone else?
Council President.
Yes, Council Pelos.
So I'm not sure if this is the right time to ask this, but I'm kind of tagging on to Councilwoman Taylor Draper. So, Chief, for you, do we still have the ladder truck? Is the ladder truck a part of our insurance coverage? How many times a month does the ladder truck go out? And is there any thought of trying to be more efficient with putting that ladder truck in another community or selling it? I know that's a lot of questions about the ladder truck.
No, it's definitely one of the things that we're looking at. There's very much a strong need, in my professional opinion, of us to have a ladder truck. The aspect is that obviously having enough personnel to safely staff it and operate it. You know, the mayor and I have talked in a lot of different things. And again, it's part of the strategic planning and also to see what the impact is of not having a ladder truck, you know, in our community and looking at some other outside the box regional approaches on things. We've talked with some of our neighboring communities and maybe even doing some collaborative staffing with it, which is still currently in the developmental stages and evaluating, you know, the risk profile and overall assessment for the community. I can tell you, I was in at a apartment fire in Mayfield Heights, and they had Mayfield Heights fire, and I think it was Highland Heights. I think it was the other ladder truck, but they ended up having to use it to hit the fire from the outside because the fire was so intense due to the fire load of the content within some of the apartments that the fire crews weren't even able to make it down the hallway safely. So they actually had to knock the fire down from the exterior. And because of a high rise situation, that's not something you can do very easily if you just have a pumper, or the need for a ladder truck, you know, definitely presents itself and being able to have that. And ultimately it leads to, you know, staffing needs along those lines. I hope that helps.
Yes. Thank you, Chief.
Any other questions with regard to this ordinance?
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chief.
Right. Thanks, Chief. We will then move on.
Members of Council, thank you so much for considering. We appreciate everything that you do and supporting us, and thank you.
So would I take everything here to mean that if we're going to move forward with this thing, we need to waive and adopt and get this thing moving forward. Would everybody agree that that's what makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. So next one is the bid acceptance for Rockefeller Road Resurfacing Project Ordinance 2020-51. I believe this is companion to 2020-47. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
And, so this is the actual.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I thought I saw Pete jump on, and now I can't. I don't see him.
Yeah, he was, and then he must have realized we were going to ask him a question and dropped off. He's probably watching on Facebook going, oh, let me get off here.
Okay.
So
I wanted to make sure we asked Nancy's question, and but I didn't want to interrupt Chief Candy. So
yeah, I know. I saw him too. And then, yeah, I was, yeah, he disappeared.
But yes, this is the companion to accept the bid that we spoke of earlier.
Yeah, so this is the actual acceptance of the bid for the contractor doing the work.
Correct.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Questions?
Council President.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go with Councilman Jarmuskavage.
The on 2020-47, I was just curious. It's called a grant loan. I read somewhere there's a $50,000 loan in there. How does that work, or what is that? I know the grant is we have a percentage we pay and they pay. What is the loan part of that? I don't know if you could answer that. That would be for Pete.
Mr. Mayor, do you know the answer to that one? Is there an aspect to this?
Okay, yes, I'm off mute. Yeah, a part of it is structured as a loan from the Public Works Commission, and I'm not sure exactly why it's structured that way, but it's 0% interest, so yes. It works for us that we get to defer it. The other part of the grant is, like I mentioned before, it's from the county that we are able to put our portion of the, you know, each of these PWC projects that we'll talk about in much more detail for the next couple of years, because it's a very large number for Chardon Road. You know, the city has to make a contribution, and we're able to use funds from the county to make our contribution here. But as to why that part is in from the Public Works Commission, I'm going to defer to Peter Frank.
Frank's on. I see Frank. Do you have an answer on that one, Mr. Berkcheck?
No, I'm going to have to check it and see. I know it's, hang on for 1 second. I'm looking.
Okay. While we're waiting for that, any other questions related to Ordinance 2020-51?
Mr. President.
Councilman Fellows, go ahead.
So we have to waive and adopt the companion Ordinance 47, so I would recommend that council waive and adopt this one as well.
Thank you. That makes sense to me too.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Ziegler, Councilman Ziegler, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. The bid with this contractor, I believe, is 90 days to get the work completed. And that might have something to do with the price or the cost. I know Mrs. Fellows, Councilwoman Fellows, was asking about difference in bid or the price might be lower. So that's all I got.
Mr. President, if I may respond to that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't asking about the difference in the bids. I was inquiring as to the estimate that the engineering department had given us for this project versus what the bid that was accepted was, which was the lowest and best, because it was about 22.3% difference.
Yeah, almost 23%.
So I wasn't questioning different bidders' recommendations for the project.
No, I wasn't taking it that way. I think there was a bidder that would get the job done in 14 days versus this bidder would get it done in 90 days.
Yeah, I don't.
If you guys looked at the quotes. Yeah, 90, 90, 14, 60, 15, 30, and 45.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that would have something to do with the cost. If I, you know, if a contractor has that much time to do the job.
It could be.
Possibly.
Mr. President, I have a question.
Yes.
And it might be for Pete as well. So with this bid acceptance and they saying 90 days, so if they go over 90 days, do we have a penalty in the clause?
Yeah, I don't, that's why I was exactly what I was looking for, Councilman Fellows, to see if it's, because I know we've done that in the past.
Right.
These are typically on standard contract. So I believe there is something, there was something with Todd Road where it kicks in if they go into delay, but I can't tell you exactly what it is.
Council President, I have an answer.
Yes, go ahead. Mr. Berkchuk, go ahead.
So it's on page E66 of the budget. And the Rockefeller Road was based on a $155,800 grant and a $50,000 OPWC loan. And the county economic development grant of $62,500. And the way it typically works with these OPWC grants is that they spend the grant money first, and you know, and then the loan money last. So if the project runs would run under budget, we would take less loan.
And Frank, this is Andy. I'm sorry. We did. Was it Dodd Road? We had to go a little bit into the loan on. Is that the one I remember?
Actually, no, we haven't gone into the loan for a while. The last project came under budget, and we didn't have to do the loan.
Okay, I thought there was one that we still show as under a loan. Maybe it was from a year before I was around. So,
well, there are a couple of projects we got loans on, but you're right, they're from before you were mayor.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's fair to say this is it's typical OPWC practice to have the loan component.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, why they do it this way, I'm not sure, but Pete would have to explain that.
Yeah, nope. And I don't see, and maybe it hasn't been created yet, but I think that's the point you were getting at, Mr. Mayor, is that the standard contract would be used, which has a penalty phase mentioned, or penalty clause.
Right, that's the contract that you're authorizing me to sign on to.
Okay, but that there's not a copy of this in anything we've received that I can...
They're... About yay thick.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Councilman Fellows, that answer your question? I see a shaking of head yes, just so everyone on the audio knows.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it does. I just want to make sure that, you know, yeah. if we're getting a contract and they're saying they're going to do it in a certain period of time, and then for whatever reason they start doing another project and we have a road that's half done or not finished, then, you know,
and winter comes.
It's got to be something holding their feet to the fire, right?
The contract says 90 days.
I understand, but we've always had in our contracts that if you go beyond the 90 days, you start paying us.
Right. But so, yeah, they could start our project and do other projects in that 90-day period.
As long as they complete in 90 days, that's the key.
And part of the bid process attaches the contract they have to sign, our typical contract. At least it was for the last road thing, which, you know, I asked about the liquidated damages to Pete, or the late damages, and he indicated that's it. It's from our standard contract.
Thank you. Any other questions on the Rockefeller Road resurfacing project? Okay, then the last item I have on here is the budget appropriation for the additional CARES funding that we are eligible for from the state, which I believe is another $266,000 and some change. And that's, so this is just same as the first one we received, I believe, just saying we authorize the mayor to accept the funds, correct?
Mr. President, then I would suggest that we consider waiving and adopting this as well.
Yeah, I would agree. That makes sense.
Agreed.
Mr. President, just real quick, and I'll let Frank jump in if he wants to add this. You know, our first funding was approximately $530,000. This is an extra $266,000. We also received about $10,000 because the fire provides EMS services that's included in there, and this lets Frank get it appropriated so that we can then start, you know, putting it out there for the various programs that we have.
Any other questions on that? All right. Then we will move Is there anything else anyone wants to discuss before we move on to public portion?
Mr. President?
Councilman John Miscavige, go ahead.
Set a question on Eddie Road. They're doing the overpass for 271 exit. Mm-hmm. The westbound lane is still open, allowing traffic one direction over the bridge. There's a sign at Oak Street that says road closed ahead. But when you turn, go around that sign, if you live on Eddie Road, cars are still flying over the hill and you got to like pull over real quick and watch. You don't get hit by somebody coming over the hill real quick. Is there any way they can put a sign or something to tell people to watch? There's a single lane road ahead or a warning. Cause when you turn off of Oak to go to my house and there's probably 10, 15 houses there.
Yeah.
You're pulling into that incoming lane and you got to hurry up and get over before someone flying over the hill tags you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, I'll talk to Pete and Mark about some signage there for that.
Yeah, just the westbound lane right before Oak Street. You can see where my drive is. It's the highest drive. Coming in on my drive is no problem. But turning off of Oak Street, my kids, you know, they're scared to death and make a turn there, go around that sign.
So, nope. Why don't you give me a call in the morning? We'll tie Mark in and Pete in, and we'll get it taken care of.
All right.
Anything else? All right, great. Anything else for discussion? All right, then I will open up public portion at 6:52 p.m. Please remember to raise your hand either by hovering over your hit the participants and then hover over your name and select raise hand, or if you're on the phone, I believe it is star. I always have to look at my notes. If it's star 9 or star 6. It is star 9 to raise your hand. So I will open up public portion at 6:52 p.m. Anyone? All right, and then I will close public portion at 6:52 p.m. And then does anyone, you know, because we've already talked about all these, I'm going to open it up just to anyone. Did anyone see any issues from a rules and legislation perspective on any of the ordinances, any mistypings, any misspelling, any issues with the way the ordinance in itself was written that anyone would like to discuss or bring up at this point?
No.
Anyone? All right. Then I will... just make sure.
Council President, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Are we back in chambers on Thursday, or are we still Zooming, or what's the plan?
I am, if you want to, if you're comfortable being in here, then you absolutely be here, because there's four of us here tonight, and I have a very minimal, every once in a while I can hear a little bit of myself talking again very minimally, but it's been pretty clear, and there's enough room, I think, for seven of us to be socially distanced in here. We may not all be able to sit at the table necessarily, but in this chamber so that we can be together, I think it's fine. But I'll leave it up to your comfort level as to whether you're comfortable being here or not.
Okay.
Thank you. But still, no public is allowed in person. It would just be council, and administration would also not be part of in person, just council. Any other questions? Okay, then I am going to adjourn the meeting at 6:54 p.m. Thank you all. I'll see you all on Thursday evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.